Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. I'm so happy you're here listening with us. My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and today we're going to be talking about recovering you from your relationships. And I'm so honored to have with me as my guest today, Marilyn Bradford. So before I dive into a little bit more of the description and tell people about you, I do want to stop and say welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Thank you so much, Betsy. I've been looking forward to this all day.
Wonderful. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Well, we are going to dive into relationships and all the different ways that we have dedicated ourselves to satisfying and taking care of everyone else. And
right.
Where are you in that picture, right? So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today and how you can make sure that you are including you in all of your relationships, including the relationship with yourself, by the way, guys. And so Marilyn, a little bit about Marilyn. She is a therapist, a teacher. She is a speaker, and she has workshops and lectures worldwide. She's worked in the fields of mental health, self-empowerment, and addiction for over 28 years. And she was finding traditional treatments and self-actualization ineffective. So she approached Gary Douglas, who is the founder of Access Consciousness, to see what else might be possible. And together, they founded Right Recovery for You, which is a radical and unique program which utilizes transformational tools, questions, and techniques to empower people to permanently end any addictive or limiting behavior or belief system. Wow. And so, like, that's just wow. And results from using this model include decreased counseling and processing time, an increase of self-awareness and mastery, as well as the freedom for the client to move on and generate and create a life that they truly, truly desire. So that is wow. How amazing is that, that you actually saw something that you desire to create that was very different and probably controversial.
Of course.
And you still forged ahead and said, no, I see the benefit of this other way of doing things. So let's start there and talk a little bit about what that journey was like for you.
Well, you know, it was amazing, actually. And I don't know that I would have gone there if I hadn't seen how ineffectual a lot of the traditional addiction and recovery therapy and programs are. You know, the main one, only about 10% of the people actually use it well. works for them, and the other 90%, nope. So anyway, it was like, that was the mother of invention. It's like, I've got to do something different. And it really came about because I was using the access consciousness tools in my practice, and my people were getting better faster. I was like, maybe I should do something with this. So the other thing is, everybody looks at addiction, particularly, and recovery, but let's start with addiction, as just, oh, it's alcohol and drugs, or maybe gambling and sex, you know. But what I found is that we all, pretty much everybody, maybe not everybody, but pretty much, has some form of addictive behavior when you look at it as the place that people go to not exist. It's like a default place that we go. So you can be addicted to being the perfect parent, or you can be addicted, of course, to work. That's a standard one. We all know people who are addicted to trauma drama. You know, it's like, oh,
yes.
So I really wanted to get this out and to let people know, you know, just take a look and see where you default to, because that in some way is limiting you, and you're making your response, your whatever it is that's triggering it, you're making that greater than you. And that's the thing with all addictions, is we make whatever it is we're reacting to or using to escape, like alcohol, which was mine, we're making ourselves less than that. And so anyway, I guess that was part of my journey. But recently, I've been looking at recovering from relationships. And I'm not so much talking about the partnership, you know, a marriage or something, although we'll certainly get there. You can certainly use this information for that. But it was much more about, and like you were talking, Betsy, how many of us give ourselves away to others? How much of it is about taking care of others and not including us in the computation? And I got to thinking about that, and I was like, well, what creates that? Why would we do that? And I started looking at all of these ways that we almost don't have a chance. It's sort of interesting from the beginning. So first, you're in your mother's womb, and that in and of itself, I think Gary and Dane, if somebody's called that the implant station, because you don't know you're different from your mother. So all of her thoughts, feelings, emotions, her ideas about relationship, you know, her relationship with your dad, all of these things you begin to pick up. And believe me, we do. I mean, people are like, oh, I can't believe that. But we are smart little energetic beings. And we will pick up that stuff. So that's definitely one of the – does that make sense?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So we have that. And then, you know, we have our culture and our the religion and this sort of morass of stuff that surrounds us as we're growing up, telling us what we believe and who we are, giving us our identities. You know, you're a – I was a Maxwell from Princeton, New Jersey. You know, that was my identity, and I took on so much of that. So there's that factor. I hope this isn't getting too complicated. But there's another factor in there, too. So we can – I copy this. This is a Daneism. We can only allow ourselves to be what others can perceive and receive. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Betsy – for me, like when you were a little kid, did you get told you were too much or to stop talking?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Too super bright, I bet. So right there, if you can see a beautiful world and you can say, talk to the animals and you're aware of the earth and you have all these questions, and the people around you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. We will start cutting off all those parts and pieces of us that they can't be aware of. It's like we go to the lowest common denominator. mm-hmm. in order. So anyway, it's pretty hard to have you and be you with all of these factors in place.
Wow.
I hope that makes
sense.
So, yeah.
It totally does make sense, and I can think of so many examples in my own life where I have done that, or you know, and chosen those things. And so I'm wondering, for anybody listening who might resonate with some of the things that you've already shared with us, what could they start doing to rediscover who they are and get back those bits and pieces that they were shutting down and cutting off?
Well, yes. Two different questions. Yes. Let's say the short version is, I've had a few instances in my own life. One of them was that for whatever reason, my mother was a terrible dresser and dressed me very poorly, I thought, at the time. And I decided to teach myself. Now, for whatever reason, I didn't buy into her style. Of all the things, okay. There are lots of stuff I bought into, but I didn't buy into that one. And so I began to look around, and this is what I would find: some areas of your life where you did make a different choice. And see what you did. I began to look around at what other people were wearing and how they were looking. And I began to try out some things. And one of the things you'll find as you go about recovering you from relationships, and we have to get to that relationship part too, is that, you know, it's trial and error. It's like, well, let me try this on. You know, find people you admire. If you've ever said, I wish I were more like this, you're an infinite being. You can be everything. Find people you admire and go about looking at, well, what do? What do they choose? And the other thing that's really, really helpful is to catch yourself. I can remember when I first moved to Texas from the East Coast, I was like, well, you know, I'm from the East. My father was a professor, too, which doesn't help. Anyway, I'm from the East Coast. We have the best schools, obviously. We have the Seven Sisters and the Ivy League and, you know, Texas just. And after a while, I went, wow, that's a story I keep telling myself. But is that really me? Start questioning your stories, because that's where you stick yourself, whatever they are, whatever truths you think you have. I don't know if you can think of any of your stories, Betsy, but and I just mean because we all have them.
Sure. Well, and that, you know, it is so true that the stories that we tell ourselves, that as it's coming out of our mouths, if we can actually ask that question, you know, wait a minute, is this actually true for me, or am I just repeating what I've heard my whole life, you know, whether it's family or people around me or, you know, the country we live in or whatever. We have just bought it as real and made it ours. And is it actually real and true for us? It might be and it might not be. But when you start asking those questions, then you start to find out what actually is true for you. So I love that example of even something as simple as, you know, what you had told yourself for so long. And then it's like, wait a minute. And even as you were telling the story, there was an energy there of kind of heaviness, you know, like it wasn't really true. And so that's one of the things that we've talked about on the show. And I would love for you to put your take on it, you know, where you're following that energy of the light and heavy and what that is.
Yes. I mean, I love that light and heavy tool. That's really amazing. And whenever if I start to tell any kind of story or have any interaction that's heavy. Okay. So I'm in this Mahjong group. Okay. And it's fun. Most of the people are humanoids. They're not really interested in consciousness, but they like to have fun and have a good time. And that makes me happy. But anyway, there was this big to-do just about introducing this new person, and she was rude and blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, obsessing about it. I'm like, wait a minute, Marilyn. That's really heavy. And who does that belong to? So I was doing all of the, you know, the obsessing that everybody else was doing. And once you really, that whole stopping and asking yourself, what's going on? If this is heavy, it's not true. You know, that just practicing that over and over and over again can make enormous changes for people. And part of, you know, part of the, sorry if I'm a little out of breath. I've been at sea level and now I'm at 7,200 feet again and I'm still catching up. yes, we are at a high altitude here. It's so easy to lose ourselves and lose sight of those things because we are taught that whatever around us, we're taught to have an identity. And that's one of the first mistakes, really. I mean, something can be true for you without you making it solid and real an identity. So, you know, in therapy, I mean, I was trained, you get people to, you know, you want them to identify and solidify their self. Well, that doesn't leave much room for anything. You know, and we're told, well, if you were born in Japan, well, you're Japanese. Or, you know, I'm American, I'm a mongrel, I think I have Scottish, English, mongrel, somewhere heritage. But still, you know, I'm an American, I'm from the East Coast. All of those things are limitations. And we tend to get with people who have similar limitations. So that's, you know, I started talking about a little bit about the lowest common denominator thing. And that's really true. I know there was one point when I was doing the style thing and I wasn't very far along. And what I noticed was that when I went out with a friend who was very conservative, I bought conservative clothes. And when I went out with a friend who was wild and bohemian, you know, 60s, 70s, I bought those clothes. And I'm like, hold on. I'm just mirroring them or doing what they do. And that's what so many people do in their relationships, is that they look to the other person to decide how they're going to be, how they're going to act, what's acceptable, what's not. Does that make sense?
It really, really does. And so with that, I do believe we have to take our first break. Yep, here we go. So hold on to this thought, you guys, and we'll be back to talk more about relationships with Marilyn Bradford. Stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. But I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hi, guys. We are talking about relationships today with Marilyn Bradford, my special guest. And I just can think of so many different ways, Marilyn, where I have not even allowed myself to think or choose something at different parts of my life because of either what I thought the other person was going to do or not do, or as you were talking about right before the break, where you go to the lowest common denominator of the relationship that you have with that person, and you're not being true to yourself in any of these situations that we're talking about.
Exactly. And we're also taught not to be rude, not to assert ourselves, particularly women, but I think men get some of that anyway. Men have the whole, they're wrong because they're men. To try to fit in. You know, one of the things I remember, I taught high school for a while. Well, you know, if somebody didn't fit into class, that was a bad thing, you know. That was not a good thing. Later in therapy, as a therapist, I would tell my clients, you don't fit, you'll never fit, get over it. You know, because mostly humanoids come to therapy, You know, enjoy it. All the great things in the world have been done by people who didn't fit, like, you know, Picasso or Michelangelo or Martin Luther King Jr. You know, you name it. The greatest people in the world who've created things are people who don't fit, but we have all this pressure to try to fit in. So, yeah, and it's really helpful to start looking at all of your different types of relationships. I did a recovering from family class a few years back. It was one of the heaviest classes I've ever done. People were like lying on the floor. But family, just like, oh my God. Family, well, you know, is one of those where we give ourselves up the most for all kinds of reasons. I mean, you know, the Hallmark Channel exists to tell people that family is everything. And whenever I bring up something about family to my non-access friends, they're like, well, of course, you know, family's everything. I'm like, family is everything that limits you. So, I mean, we just got through the holiday. That's when I have people calling me and like, what do? I'm supposed to go home. Because here's the other thing. In your parents' eyes, in general, and I know I'm making generalities, but in your parents' eyes, they've already decided who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it's based on, oh, yeah, you know, at five you were like this, and we still think of you that way. So if you go in there, the pull to be that person they've decided that you are is really, really strong because it's very taboo to go against your family. So,
well, yeah, I love that you brought this piece into this conversation today. I think of so many people who have told me that when they go home, you know, whether they're visiting, you know, for an evening or a weekend or whatever, where they revert to childhood behavior and they're like, what am I doing? And it's like they almost, they can't even stop themselves. And the next thing you know, they're like, I'm behaving as I did when I was 10 years old. What am I doing? So is that part of what you just talked about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do people do to change that?
Well, like for the holidays, all of this, you probably want to start out a little slowly. I tell people, if you possibly can, stay at a hotel. Don't stay in the house. Limit it. Know that you can leave at any time. And be kind to yourself. If you do revert, oh, well, I did that. That was funny. You know, just notice it. But actually, if you can go in with awareness with family, that's a great place to start for looking at other relationships. Oh, look how I changed myself to meet my brother's expectations or you know, and it can be anything. I was, I have a friend who called me and was having some family drama. And she said, my brother is so mean to me. He's so mean to both my sister and me about this. I said, well, why don't you just divorce him? She's like, I can do that? I'm like, yeah, you can do that. You can definitely do that. You can block him. Just send him an email and say, your behavior has been rude and unacceptable, and I am no longer willing to have contact with you. Boop. And she did, and she was like, oh, my gosh, Marilyn. I just felt such relief. So, yeah, absolutely. You can divorce your parents if you want to. You have to look at the ramifications of it, and you have to look at right. they're ready for it. You right. know, this is not a one-size-fits-all at all. But and the other thing is your family, particularly your parents, not necessarily your siblings, although it can be, they've known you from the time you were tiny.
Yes. Yes.
So they have this whole backlog. There's no such thing in family of let's forget the past. Most families completely dedicated to processing the past or to being
right.
the past or to bringing the
right.
past forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My mother is always talking about the past.
Always.
Like she lives in the past. And like, and you know, I'm always bringing the conversation to present. She's talking it back to the past. And
yeah.
what's fascinating for me, too, in these conversations is that it's not, it's just really interesting how she has changed the reality of what actually happened.
So, yes.
You know, what, right? And I'm sure that's a pretty common theme as well.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's, you know, the whole thing where if you have six people who witness an event, and
right.
something like, each is going to have a different, they're going to have a different interpretation, a different story of what
right.
happened. And that
right.
gets exponentialized over the years with family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to mention that nobody wants to talk about Joe, who is the alcoholic, or Pam, who sexually abused the neighbor's boy, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All of the secrets and lies also and help to discourage individuals from being them. You can't say what's true in a family, generally speaking. So that's
right.
another way. Yeah, that's another way that we cut things off. Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, I mean, what we're talking about today is definitely a very, you know, deep and it can be very heavy subject, right? And it's really but having these conversations where you can say, hey, there actually is a different choice. And
yes.
here are some small things you can do. Like you said, you know, you don't have to, you know, come out of the gate with guns blazing and
no,
destroy all your relationships, right? But you can start to look at, hey, what actually works for me? And
yes.
if you've been somebody like me who has pretty much her whole life clammed up and not really talked about what worked for me, and now I have found my voice and it's much better about saying things when, and it, actually these words where this does not work for me, or I'm
yes.
going to choose something different, that
yes.
in itself takes the charge out of and the accusation out of a situation. And just, you know, when you put it on yourself and say, I'm going to choose this for me, it's not
yeah.
anything about anybody else not being or doing something. So I found for me that really can be it's empowering for me, and it's not a disempowering thing for somebody else. So what else can you add to that?
Well, that's, yeah, I love that. I'm sorry that doesn't work for me. That's a fabulous phrase and a phrase I always taught my therapy patients, the clients. Another thing that you can do is if you have a lunch date with a friend or you have like the Mahjong group, what you do ahead of time is you look at different scenarios. So you go, okay, so if I say this, what will that create? And allow yourself to be aware. Or if I go over here and I have this attitude, what does that create? You begin to play with it and actually have fun. You know, because
wait,
and you can start
fun allowed?
Fun is allowed for sure. Fun is definitely allowed. Yeah. And you can begin to take back control of the situations because most people have no interest in being aware. They react. You know, they align and agree or resist and react. So it's like poke the bear. I've done that before with friends and not in a bad way. Just doesn't work with most access people because they're too aware.
Right.
But just like, maybe I'll bring up this topic or maybe I'll remind them of this. And what will that create? Well, you can just begin to see and then you apply it to yourself. When was the last time I got upset? What was that about?
Right.
Is that some belief system I have that was challenged? And you really, really, if you can look at actually all of your belief systems, religion and culture and politics, and another thing that you can do that I have fun with sometimes is if I, quote, feel or I notice I have a strong point of view about something, I will ask myself to take the other point of view or a different point of view just to try that on. And it's very illuminating. It really is.
Love that.
Yeah.
The be on the other side of the street kind of thing. And, try on somebody else's coat. It really can be like, oh, wait a minute, and it helps you to get out of where you're so stuck in.
Yes.
In that there's no other way and nothing else possible here.
Right, exactly. And there's always something else possible. And, we know that. But it's hard to remember that sometimes. It's very easy to go into there's nothing else possible. But in fact, one thing that I do say, going along the same vein of things, is do something different every day. That's one way we can get to know ourselves. Because if we... it can be taking a different walk or jogging, or it can be eating at a different restaurant and ordering something you don't normally order, or calling a person you don't know, something, because those behaviors force you to be present and be aware of where you are in a particular situation.
I like it.
Yeah. So I do that.
I like it. Yeah. So I wonder where we could challenge ourselves, to get out of our comfort zone of things that maybe we've decided that we couldn't do for whatever reason. And what would that change in our relationship with ourselves as well as relationship with others?
Exactly.
One of the pieces I did want to ask you about that you touched on a little bit earlier was the kindness to yourself. And what can you do, and what questions could you ask, and what could you choose to have a kinder relationship with you?
Well, the first thing is to really get, talk about what gets implanted in early in us, that whole sense of wrongness. In fact, going back to my work with addiction and Right Recovery for You, it's about a year and a half, 2 years in, I'm not sure, because I've been doing this, I guess, 9 or 10 years. I realized that everything we think of as an addiction, like alcohol and drugs or relationships, people do have, they have to have a relationship. Whatever it is, those are all secondary addictions. The primary addiction is really to judgment and the wrongness of self. And that's what creates that desire to escape, because it's very painful to believe that you're wrong. It really is.
Yes.
So that's what I always call the primary addiction, and I wish there were a really easy way of doing that. But one of the things that I've realized is, if you can begin to separate yourself out from it a bit, because, see if I can describe this. Anytime you're judging yourself as wrong or trying to make the right choice or doing anything like that, just walk outside and go, okay, if I were here by myself in the world, would there be any judgment? No, it's all somebody else's point of view. So if you can begin to see that it's always just somebody else's point of view that you're wrong, even if it's your point of view, it's just a point of view, you can begin to create a distance between you and that wrongness. Now, there are other things to do. I just got about 3 months ago, 2 Bengal cats. Do you know what Bengals are?
Those are the big cats, right?
Well, they're bred from and it's a combination of an Asian leopard cat and a domestic cat. And
okay.
You have to go four or five. But they're not like regular cats in a lot of ways. They are high energy. If you're going to get Bengals, you have to be willing to play with them two hours a day about. I mean, and they stalk, and they're just so fun. But the thing I realized about them is that no doesn't really exist in their universe, and wrongness doesn't exist in their universe. You know, if Matisse, that's one of them, pees in the corner, I'm like, Matisse, he's like, oh, she's doing that yelling thing again. So they don't, you know, I wonder why. I think I'll go see what's in the food bowl. You know, they don't have... They don't have any sense of wrongness. And I'm like, you know, get a cat, do what they do, or a horse, or, you know, now dogs can take on they can take on, you know, that they're bad and wrong, but cats pretty much know. And take a walk outside in nature. Why do we feel better in nature? Because it doesn't judge. Judgment, get that. Judgment is such an arbitrary creation by human beings to control human, or to control you. I mean, what do all the religions do? Judge. Because that way they get to control you and tell you what to do and what you can do and what you can't do. You know? Most cultures have those things. So.
Yes, absolutely. You know, parents, you know, that's the one way to control your children. And, you know, so as we go to our second break here, thank you so much for bringing this into the conversation. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, guys. This time is going by so fast today.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, guys. It's Betsy McLaughlin here today with Marilyn Bradford, having an amazing conversation about relationships. And before we dive back in, Marilyn, please tell everybody how they could reach you, find out more about Right Recovery for You, or have a private session with you, or what else you've got going on in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I wrote a book, Right Recovery for You. It's now in English, Spanish, French, German, and Italian.
Wow.
Yeah. And so you can get that at the Access Consciousness Shop or Amazon. It's also in Kindle. And that gives a lot of information and a lot of tools about how to begin to look at things differently. MarilynBradford.com is a website. And you can email me at MarilynBradford@ME.com. I've got a three-part teleseries on this very topic that starts in April that we can delve in more deeply on, you know, with people on their individual questions. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be really fun because this is, you know, it's such a multifaceted thing.
Absolutely.
And everybody's got somewhere that they've got themselves stuck. I mean, I still have to look at things. It's like, okay, what does this friend expect from me? It's people's expectations, projections, rejections, separations, judgments, and conclusions that we take as truth and real rather than going, huh, that's about them. And that's, you know, that phrase, I'm sorry that doesn't work for me. Another phrase I use myself is whenever I get hung up on something, I go, Marilyn, that's about them. You know, if they're judging or, and I don't make them wrong for it. You know, if they believe in being a vegetarian because we're all evil if we eat an animal, okay, that's about them. But I just had someone project that onto me. That's okay. I don't have to have a resistance and reaction or align and agree with it. And that's another way you can be kind. Bringing it back to that kindness question, Betsy, you can be kind to yourself by not aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting to anyone. It's that interesting point of view. Now, that sounds simple, but it's not as simple as it seems, or rather it takes some effort. But whenever you align and agree or resist and react, you cut off your awareness and you cut off what's really true for you. Even if you do hold the same idea about something, it's going to have a different flavor for each person. So that's another way to be kind to you. Don't do more, or rather question, when someone asks you to do something, particularly for them. People will accuse you of being selfish, but that generally means that you're not doing what they want you to do. That's all that means. You're selfish,
right?
If you don't do what I want you to do and be who I want
you're
you to
right be. You're right.
Yep. So that's one thing. Yeah, kindness. Ask. When you're considering doing something, ask yourself, what will this create? I know that Gary talks about parenting that way, and it creates children who can be in the question and not do all that self-judgment. You know, if you touch that stove, what will that create? You know, if you're having decide to have that second or third glass of wine, what does that create for you and your body? Not in a judgmental way, but in an awareness way. If you stay up, if you override your body and stay up working to 4 a.m., what does that create? So just asking yourself, what is this choice going to create? That's another way to be kind to you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. And I just wonder, you know, the gift of this conversation for all of us in looking at the places where we're stopping ourselves and where we could actually be, and then judging. You know, you talked about judgment right before the break and how insidious it is, and
for me, certainly, it's been in every aspect of my life. And as I'm in less and less judgment, my life is happier and happier.
Yay!
You know, it's like, huh, maybe there is something to this. Right? And then now, when I find myself judging, because I'm not 100% judgment free yet. That's the target, right?
That's the target. I agree.
When I do start to do that, I'm like, oh, wait, hold it. You know, and then like, what am I choosing? And what could I choose now? And even in just that, I'm not going into further judgment of what I just did, said, or chose. It's just like, oh, okay, let's just choose something different now.
Yes.
So no matter what it is, right, that you've done, where in the past you might have beaten yourself up for 3 months of Sundays or longer, now what if you just did something different?
Right, exactly. And don't let the past be the past. You know, destroy and uncreate your relationship to who you were yesterday every morning. Because then you actually have choice. And you don't have to judge. You go, all right, different day, different me, now what? You know, that's a great way to be in life, I think. Go ahead, please.
Oh, okay, just real quick, and then you can go on. I remember in one class that we were in with Dr. Dane here, the co-founder of Access, who said, you know, what if tomorrow you woke up and you didn't know who you were? You know,
yes, amnesia.
You had amnesia, right? And you had no idea who you were, who anyone else was, what you did. What would you create then? So so when Marilyn said destroy and uncreate, you know, that's, what if you actually could do that every single day and you woke up and you have a clean slate to create whatever you would like to create in your life?
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful. And that's a couple of things I want to touch on. One is, it seems like jumping around, but look for patterns. Like, I know a woman who always gets with men who are abusive. Well, if you keep doing something like that, that's, you bought at some point, you have to look at what the idea underlying that is. All men are abusive. I don't deserve a good relationship, whatever it is. Because that's the only way you're going to get out of that one. You're going to just, whatever it is, you keep getting jobs where you're disrespected or whatever. Look for those patterns.
Right.
And change those. Because if it's a pattern, you're not letting go of the past, and you're on automatic pilot again.
Yeah.
And you really, you can't even find you, basically.
Right. Exactly. And I remember, like, my husband and I used to have this cyclical thing that we did. And then I was like, here we go again, and we're doing it again, and we're doing it again. And it's like, I'm dumb. I finally said, you know what, I'm dumb with this because it's not working for either one of us. Neither one of us are happy in this, and something's got to change. And so just in saying that and really being willing to look at it instead of just continuing that stuff, we were able to change it. Say, okay.
That's so cool.
This doesn't, right? Yeah. And so, because it was just like, okay. And that was actually kind of the same thing because I used to go to therapy, and I got to the point where it was like, you know what? I am tired of hearing myself say the same thing over and over again. Something, something's got to change here. And so it was in that there was, I know that was my willingness to change something. Cause I was like, I'm done with this. And, you know, I was like, my husband wasn't any happier and he was tired of it. So it was like, okay, then let's just have conversations and see what we would like to choose. Do we want to stay together? What do we want to do? And so in starting those conversations, we were really able to change the foundation of how we had our relationship and what we wanted to
build and create on, and we still do that. And it's made it so much easier. And we don't have that one cyclical thing that we used to do all the time.
That is so
much easier. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, and you started having a conversation by acknowledging, both of you acknowledging it wasn't working for you, that you don't have to have blame. You know, and that's
right.
What gets in the way of a lot of partner relationships is blame. And that really is nowhere's bill. You know, you did this to me, you're bringing up the past or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that sounds fantastic. And that's, one thing I do want to say. This is not just about separating yourself from all your relationships. If you have a relationship and you basically like the person, whether it's a friend or even a family member or, you know, or your partner, you can, if they're willing to look at things, change it. And if they're not really willing, you can still see, well, what part of this works for me and what part of it doesn't.
Right.
You know.
Right. And what can we make greater, you know?
Yes.
What can we make greater?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing that comes up with more with partners, but it can happen with friends too, is the holding yourself back because your partner doesn't want to go where you're going or be as fast as you are or change certain things. And I've heard so many people say, I just can't give up the relationship. I don't like that he or she, you know, doesn't want to do what I want to do or is not interested in consciousness or, you know, they won't change. And I'm holding myself back. I'm not creating as much as I could. They don't want me to travel. Or, you know, they don't want me to go to these classes or to facilitate or whatever it is. You have to really see, you don't do anybody a favor when you hold yourself back. Every single person on this call, well, you know, you're a gift. You're a gift, and you can't be that gift if you're not being you. And if you're holding yourself back, you're not being you. So I just want to reiterate that again. Do not hold yourself back for anyone.
Yes.
You can be the leader, and you can be the inspiration for that person changing. And if they don't want to go where you're going, I mean, in a big, big, big way, and there's nothing else to salvage, it wasn't going to work anyway.
Yes. And then, you know, if you, and I've certainly done this piece too, that, you know, when I've done that, when I've held myself back, I end up resenting that person and myself for that choice. You know,
and
I've seen so many people do that where, you know, then there's the resentment, the anger, the hostility, the blame, all of that. And none of that is conducive to the relationships that we really desire to create and have in our lives.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that's just, please, please, please don't hold yourself back for somebody else. You're not making them look bad. You're setting an example and giving them something to reach for. And that's another way to be kind to you, is to, you know, to be the example, to be the inspiration for others. Because holding yourself back is not kind to you.
No kidding. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that goes right along with that piece of the kindness piece of, you know, being kind to you and being kind to everyone around you. So what kindness could you choose for you today?
That's a great question. You know, yeah.
Thank you. And would you actually be willing to choose more kindness every single day?
And if you find yourself in resistance to that, ask, what did I buy about being kind to me that's just somebody else's point of view? That I don't deserve it, or, you know.
That's a great question. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because ultimately, the kinder you are, and that doesn't mean overindulging necessarily, you know, really. We have this idea that kindness is coddling or, you know, not telling the truth, like hedging the truth, you know. Well, the truth really will set you free if you're willing to be honest with yourself. And sometimes being kind to you is being honest with yourself when you don't really like what you're looking at. But hey, if you don't look at it, you can't change it. So,
I love that part
of being kind to, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much for coming on. We just have a couple minutes left on the show today. And I would love for you to wrap this up with however you would like to wrap it up.
Well, Dr. Dane here has a book called Be You, Changing the World. And really, that says it all, too. It's this whole way of looking at ourselves in relationship where we tend to put others ahead of us or think they're more right than we are. Don't do that. Be you and find out who that is and create that.
Thank you, Marilyn, for coming on the show today. Marilyn Bradford, everybody.
Thank you, Betsy, for having me. It was really a pleasure.
You're so welcome. Have a great week, everybody. Take care and be kind to yourself. And be you.